Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Memechet, chapter 48 of Sefer Yechezkel. In this chapter, now we're going to describe the structure of the future Eretz Yisrael as Yechezkel envisions it. And it's going to be surprising in several ways. Things to keep in mind are size issues. So we're talking about kanim here of 6 amot each, and that means somewhere between 9 and 12 feet, depending on how you figure that out. And then plots of land that will be of 25,000 kanim east to west comes out to somewhere between 550 or more miles east to west, and then 10,000, and then 25,000 also north to south, I think it's going to be. So that'll be another 600 mile, meaning that the vision is of an Eretz Yisrael that's 550 miles at least north to south and 550 miles at least east to west, which aren't the figures that we have today. The Dat Mikra seems to think of it as going diagonally and finding a way to fit in that space to fit in that space closer to our current borders, but it's not so clear what's going on. We'll have to discuss that a little bit later in the perek. So to start with Pasuk Aleph, Ve'ele Shemot HaShivatim Mikzei Tzafona El Yad Derech Chetlon Levo Chamat Chatzar Inan Givul Damesek Tzafona El Yad Chamat Ve'ilo Fe'ad Kadim Hayam Dan Echad. So on the northern end, and then they have a description of all of where this plot of land will be, you're going to have Dan as one shevet. Ve'al givul Dan, and then sort of south of Dan, mipa'at kadim ad pa'at yama, from east to west, asher echad. Ve'al givul asher mipa'at kadim ad pa'at yama, naftali echad. Ve'al givul naftali mipa'at kadim ad pa'at yama, min asher echad. So each of these, we're going down. We have Dan, and then asher, and then naftali, and then Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Menashe, Algul, Menashe, and south of Menashe, Mipat Kadima, Ad, Pad Yama, Ephraim, Echad, and Ephraim, Algul, Ephraim, Mipat Kadima, Pad Yama, Ruven, Echad, and then below Ephraim you'll have Ruven, Algul, Ruven, Pad Yama, Pad Yama, Yuda, Echad, then you'll have Yuda, Algul, Yuda, Mipat Kadima, Pad Yama, Tie, Hachumashe, Tarimu, Chamishav, Esrim, Elef, Rochav, Veorach, So in the northern stuff, in the northern part of Yehuda, so you're supposed to have Yehuda, I'm sorry, in the boundary of Yehuda, presumably south of Yehuda, I'm sorry, Al-Gavul Yehuda mipa'ad kadim ad yama, from east to west, you're going to have the Beit HaMikdash, the Truma. And so Rashi says, points out, I understand, in the first Beit HaMikdash, the Beit HaMikdash was in the northern part of Yehuda, and that was sort of in the southern part of Eretz Canaan, and now it's in the middle, right? It's in the middle because you had Dan and Asher and Naphtali and Menasheh and Ephraim and Yehuda. That's six tribes, and below them you're going to have another six tribes. So it's right in the middle. So I don't understand how it happened. So he says that's because this chalukka of the land of Israel, this division of the land of Israel, is going to be different in that here each tribe will get the same amount, whereas in the first time, Yehuda got so much more than everybody else that it covered so much of Eretz Canaan that even the northern part of Yehuda was already the southern part of Eretz Yisrael. That's the way Rashi understands it. But the numbers here are surprising, right? Because we have six tribes fitting in. So if they have, as we'll see, 25,000 kanim, so basically, let's figure 50 miles worth, then that means that the Beit HaMikdash, which we think of as being Yerushalayim, which you think the Makom HaMikdash, we don't think changes, is presumably 300 miles south of the northern part of the Israeli border. So that's a set of circumstances that's unclear how that would work in our current geography. So again, if you diagonalize it, you might be able to limit that somewhat, but it gets complicated. So Yehuda, right, so now you have the Mikdash B'techo. HaTruma Asher Terimu LaHashem Orech Chamisha V'Esrim Elef V'Rochav Aseret Alafim. So the Truma that you're going to make, the donation that you're going to make from the Jewish people for these purposes, you're going to have 25,000 long, which is east to west, and then 10,000 wide, meaning north to south. U'le'ele Tia Truma HaKodesh LaKohanim Tzafona Chamisha V'Esrim Elef V'Yama Rochav Aseret Alafim V'Kadima Rochav Aseret Alafim V'Negba Orech Chamisha V'Esrim Elef V'Haya Mikdash Hashem B'techo. So what you have is, it's 25,000 on the north, and then 10,000, on the west, and 10,000 on the east, and 25,000 on the south, and the Mikdash is Bitocho. So Rashi at least interprets all of these numbers, as we said before, that it's really a strip That's 25,000 east to west and 10,000 north to south, and it's just saying these are the dimensions surrounding the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Yud Aleph, HaKohanim HaMikudash Mibnei Tzadoka Sheshemru Mishpati, and then the Kohanim who are going to be allowed to serve, meaning that they've kept faithful to Hashem's wants and wishes, Asher Lo Ta'u B'Tor Pnei Yisrael Kasher Ta'u HaLevim, who did not, as the Levim did not stray, so they'll get this plot. Vaitalahem Tirumiya Mitrumat Aretz Kodesh Kodeshim Gvul HaLevim, and this will be a special reserve for them, given a special piece of land for them next to the Levim. VaLevim Lumat Gvul HaKohanim Chamisha V'Asim Elef Orech V'Rochav Aseret Alafim Kol Orech Chamisha V'Asim Elef V'Rochav Aseret Alafim, and then Levim will get another plot of land which will be 25,000 long by 10,000 wide, and then it says the total will be 10,000. So again, this sounds like it's different, but Rashi just says it means of every strip. Kol orech, every strip has the length of 25,000, the length of, and the width of 10,000. Olim karum imenu velo yamer velo yaavir rishit aret ki kodesh lashem. And they can't sell it, they can't change it and exchange it, they can't pass it on, meaning it's not really their land in terms of they can do with it as they wish. It's their land in terms of it's kodesh lashem, and they are representatives of Hashem, and therefore they take possession of it. Pasuk Ted Vav, Chameshet Alafim Manotar Barochav, Al Pnei Chamisha Vesim Elef, Chol Hu La'ir L'Moshev L'Migrash, Vaita Ha'ir B'Tocho. So the remaining 5,000, meaning if the strips are all 25,000 by 25,000, this strip had 10,000 for the Kohanim, 10,000 for the Levim, and you have this extra 5,000. That is going to be for the Migrash, for a blank space around the city, and for the city itself, and the Migdash will be B'Tocho. So the point is that since the Mikdash is in the middle, and we've already said that the Mikdash is 500 kanim by 500 kanim, which would be 3,000 amot, which would be between 4,500 feet and 6,000 feet, as we've pointed out, let's say a mile by a mile around. So that's a square area in the middle. So on each side, it's exactly in the middle. So on each side, you're going to have 4,500 kanim. Vayamigrash, so 4,500 kanim, just to make sure that we translate it, is translated for ourselves to remember what's going on, is 27,000 amot, which is, so 27,000 amot is in the area of 50,000 feet, right? So you divide that by 5,280 feet per mile, so it's in the area of 10 miles we're talking about. So it's 10 miles on either side of the Beit HaMikdash. So it's basically 21 miles across or up north to south. It's large areas that we're talking about here as being the city. So then around the city on each side, you're going to have 250 of migrash. So a migrash is a blank area in which you can plant, in which you can use, in which you just beautify the city, according to Rashi and Chumash, in which you just have an empty area. Pasuk Yud Ched Vanotar Ba'orech Lumat Shumat HaKodesh Aseret Alafim Kadima Aseret Alafim Yama. So we here we've only spoken about 4,500. We've spoken about, I'm sorry, we've spoken about 4,500 is 9,000. And then 500 in each direction, right. So, I'm sorry, we're talking about 10,000 in the middle have been covered, 5,000 each direction. So that leaves on either side space. So that's what the Pasuk in Yud-Ched was talking about. What's left on the other side of 10,000 to the east and 10,000 to the west, so that is going to be a place for Lechem to support the people who are working in this city. The people working in the city will get their sustenance from this extra land, this extra area that's going to be on either side of the city. I'm sorry, I think I've been mistranslating it. The city is 5,000 by 5,000. Everything I said was correct except for those numbers. Anyway, when it says 4,500 to the east, 4,500 to the west, I think it means the totals will be in each direction. It will be 4,500 square. At least the way Rashi understands it, and that's what leaves 10,000 either side, because the strip is 25,000. So there's 10,000 to the east of the city, 10,000 to the west of the city, and there's 5,000 in the middle, with 500 of that dedicated to the Beit HaMikdash itself. Pasuk Yutet v'ha'oved ha'ir yavdu mikol shivtei Yisrael. And the people who are going to be working for the city, who are going to be the workers of the city, are going to be yavdu mikol shivtei Yisrael. They will be donated, basically, by every one of the tribes. So Rashi originally says in Pasuk Yutet v'ha'itatsu atol lechem of the ha'ir, it's the givonim, whose job it is to be sort of menial laborers for the Jewish people. But then in the next Pasuk one, it says v'ha'oved ha'ir yavdu mikol shivtei Yisrael. So it could just mean not that they come from all of the Jewish people, but they are serving on behalf of all the Jewish people. So that's what the Radak says. Mikol shivtei Yisrael ki ba'avuram heim omdim sham ovim komam uvadinu shiyavdu mechol davar shetzerech lehem, that you really, the Jews have to be doing it, v'yishalchu lehem minachot, that they should be sending their flower offerings and all those kinds of things. And then he says some people say it's the givonim. So we're talking about here is a labor force, either from selected from within the Jewish people, and maybe some kind of a draft. You'd have to occasionally do go and work and serve and keep the city going. Or there might be a group of people whose job it is to be like that. So like the Givonim, whose role in history was that by virtue of the way that they, by virtue of the fact that they chose to stay not Jewish and still live in the land of Israel, they have to give both physical labor, they have to donate both physical labor as well as monetary contributions, so they are a useful and a convenient place, source for people to come of the kind of labor that's needed to keep the city going and keep it happening. Pasuk Chaf Kol Atruma Chamisha Vesrim Aleph Pachamisha Vesrim Aleph Revi'it Tarimu Et Trumat Hakodesh El Achuzat Ha'ir. So the whole thing is going to be 25,000, right? The whole square strip is 25,000 by 25,000. A square, you're going to raise this or take this Trumat HaKodesh from and make it into the city. Then they point out that it's everything that's left on the other sides of these things. So that's the area belonging to the Nasi, and that's going to be where he gets it. And everything that's between Yehuda and then the south of Yehuda is Binyamin. So everything in the middle is where the Levim and the Kohanim have gotten their share, and the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim has gotten its share. And that's where the Nasi's material property and land will be. Pasuk of Gimel v'yeter hashivatim mipad kadima at pad yama binyamin echad, and all the rest of the tribes. So you can have binyamin one, v'agvul binyamin pad kadima at pad yama shimon echad, and then taf of binyamin you have shimon, v'agvul shimon mipad kadima pad yama yisachar echad. So we're in the middle of listing the other shvatim that are coming. So you have Agbul Shimon Mipat Kadima. We had south of Yudah there was Binyamin, then there was Shimon, and then after that there's Yisachar. Agbul Yisachar Mipat Kadima Pat Yama Zevulun Echad. Then you have Zevulun. Agbul Zevulun Mipat Kadima Pat Yama Gad Echad. Then you have Gad down there. Agbul Gad Al Pat Negev Temana Vayagvul Mitamar Memri Vaykadesh Nachala Al Yama Gadol. So God is the most southernmost, and he's got a gvul that goes to the Yama Gadol of the tribes. So these are the tribes, and this is how you're going to split them up. That's what Hashem says. So let me just pause here to note that this is a different configuration of the tribes than you had when the Jews left Egypt. So that's interesting to watch and to wonder about it, to think about. And one of the questions that I've been raising repeatedly is, to what extent is this required, and to what extent is this just what the vision of Yechezkel at that time had, but could be that over the course of history different things would happen. That's still unclear, but it is an important question, or it is to me an important question, because there are many halachot that only come into full play once you have what's called Shvatim Bimekomam. You have the Jewish people living in the land of Israel, the majority of the Jews living in the land of Israel. That we will have, as I've mentioned in other occasions, relatively soon, if the demographers are anywhere close to right. So that is a circumstance that will return for the first time in a long time, will return to Jewish history fairly soon, as far as we can tell. So, but according to many Rishonim, in order for those halachot, the right to come back into play, like Yovel and Shemitah and things like that, you need not only the majority of the Jews there, but you need representation at least of each tribe, and to some extent maybe that those tribes have to be living in their right place in the land of Israel. So this becomes important because let's suppose, not that it'll happen, but let's suppose we identified the various tribes and they came back to Israel, and but they're living according to the original configuration, right? Wherever Shimon lived back then, or Shimon's a bad example, but let's say Dan is in the north and Menashe and Ephraim are in the north, in the place where they used to live, but not as defined here, or Zebulun is in the north, or whatever, all those circumstances. So would that qualify as Shvatim B'Mekomam if Yechezkel is out of Nevuah that says that we're going to have this other configuration? The other issue about it also is, why would it be that we would change the configuration, or what is the significance of that change of configuration, or what will that mean about the nature and structure of the Jewish people in this newer configuration? And it's also, as I've mentioned, that Rashi has already pointed out, is also true that in this configuration you have the various Shvatim each getting the same size piece of land, right, regardless of population, and just all getting the same exact size of land. So what is the significance of that, or how does that work? What does that mean about this future Eretz Yisrael? So these are all questions that are raised by these issues, by this vision of the Shvatim, aside from the question of the size of Israel and how it will expand to accommodate all of these numbers. So all of those come up as issues to think about within this parak. So now we're going to go through and point out that each, as I mentioned in a previous chapter, each of the tribes has a share within the city of Yerushalayim itself. It's going to have a sha'ar, a gate, whatever that will exactly mean, whether it means literally a gate or it means some section of the city. So these are the ways you're going to get out of the city. From the north, you got 4,500 midot on the north. V'sharei ha'ir al shemot shivtei Yisrael, sharim shlosha tzafona. So the northern three gates are Shar Reuven echad, Shar Yehuda echad, Shar Levi echad. So you notice here, if we're talking about the sharim, the Levim get a shar, whereas in the tribes of Eretz Yisrael and the apportionment of Eretz Yisrael, they didn't get a shar. They got a special truma within the borders of Eretz Yisrael, in the center, near the Beit HaMikdash, but that wasn't as large as the regular Shvatims, and also it was a truma, it was a different kind of a thing. But here they get a shar of their own. To the east you have three sharim, you have Shar Yosef Echad, Shar Benjamin Echad, Shar Dan Echad. So notice, Dan Shar is on the east, even though Dan lives in the north, and Shar Yosef instead of Shar Menashe Ephraim, because as the Ramban points out in Chumash, there are always 12 tribes. Once the Levim get a Shar, then Yosef combines into one. Pasuk Lamed Gimel Ufad Negba Chamesh Meod Varbad Alafim Mida Usharim Shalosha. So the west, the southern side will be 4,500 of these Kanim, and three Sharim, Shar Shimon Echad, Shar Yisachar Echad, Shar Zvulun Echad. Yisachar, Zvulun, and Shimon get a Sha'ar each, pe'ad yama, chamesh meod ve'arbat alafim, sha'arihem shalosha, sha'ar gad echad, sha'ar asher echad, sha'ar naftali echad. So in the west, you're going to have Gad and Asher and Naftali. I'd also point out that because of this, these configurations are also not the configurations of, you might have guessed, I might have guessed, that maybe the configuration would match the configurations in the desert when they were wandering, but it's not like that, because you've got Reuven and Yehuda on the same side of the city, and Levi, and in the Midbar, so it changes the whole configuration. So what you're having here, at the very least, is, as you have a prediction about the future, so you have many changes of what the future Eretz will look like, and apparently also many changes, once we get back to the system of Shvatim, or the idea of Shvatim, many changes as well, in terms of the roles and the interplays of the various Shvatim with each other, who will be with whom, who will be close to whom, and all that, some of it seems to have changed over the course of time, between the time of the Midbar and the time of this vision of what's going to happen in the future. And then Pasuk Lamed Hey, Saviv Shemona Asar Elef V'Shem Ha'ir Miyom Hashem Shama. So all around it's 18,000. So that 18,000 presumably means it's talking about measurements of the city. Measurements of the city, meaning we've had 4,500 on each side, so the question is how you fit that in to what we've been seeing. So Rashi says, so in square, he says, it's what's going to be, meaning if you multiply 4,500 by 4,500, no, that's not what it's going to be. It's I think he means if you measure the circumference all around, So the question would be, why would you want to measure the circumference around? But that's what it is. It's 18,000 all around because it's 4,500 on each side. There's something I skipped before, but that is made, but the Midrashim make a big deal about it. They talk about Pa'at Kadim the Midrashim, point out that the way the Pasuk refers to it is that we talk about Mipa'at Kedma Ad Pa'at Yama. This is back in Pasuk of Gimel, is one place where it happens. Mipa'at Kadima Ad Pa'at Yama. So we said Mipa'at Kadima Ad Pa'at Yama means from the east border to the western border. But several Midrashim see that as a reference to the fact that, at least in the future, we will have some kind of an Akhla that in some way encompasses the whole world. So I don't know if that means it literally. It doesn't seem to, because we have dimensions as well, but that it will in some way encompass the whole world, and that's what we mean by Kadima Ad Pa'yam. It really means from end to end. And so that's a vision of what's going on here, that in some way will take over the whole world. Again, I don't know if it means physically, but it does mean, but it's an interesting motif. And then this Savish Vonasar Aleph, here it means, again, as I said, Rashi says that it's a reference to the circumference of the city, that it'll be 18,000 all around. And the Radak agrees to that. But the Gemara in Sukkah, quotes Chizkia saying in the name, quotes a statement in the name of Rav Shem Yochai, who says, "Ra'iti b'nei Aliyah v'hin mu'atin." I've seen the important people in the world, and there are very few of them. If there are 1,000 of them, me and my son are among them. If there are 100, we're also among them. If there are 2, then it's me and my son. So what Rav Shem Yochai means, it's unclear. That's a whole discussion in and of itself. But the Gemara goes on to say, "Mizutrikol has that all there are is only 1,000." Hamarava tamnesre alfei dara hava dekame kuchabrihu shenemar sevishmon asar alef. There are 18,000 who stand before God, and then he quotes our pasuk. So sevishmon asar alef, then, if that according to the Gemara, is not just a reference to the measurements of the city; it's in some way encapsulation of those who serve God in some way. So then that means the city, which is now incorporating within it all the 12 tribes of Israel and all the Jewish people, is also apparently a reflection or a symbolism or a parallel to an expression of the service of God. So that's the first piece of that pasuk that I wanted to point out. And the second piece of the pasuk that I wanted to point out is Shema Yirmiyom Hashem Shama, that the name of the city, so Rashi has it that what we mean is the name of the city from that time on will be Radak says it also, that from then on, the Shekhinah won't leave the city in a very clear and obvious way, so we will call the city Hashem Shama. And then Rashi refers back to that the original name of the city was Hashem, it was Yira'eh, right? Avraham said, Makom Hashem Yira'eh. So here, he's saying that's sort of a return to that, and then he says, no, maybe it means this, that in the future, from the time that it's rebuilt, they'll call it Hashem Shama, and then everyone will know that Hashem is there. So that's one piece of it. But another piece of it given by the Gemara of Batra on Ayin Hey Mud Bet, which says that three things in the world are called Hashem HaKadosh Baruch, or called by God's name: Tzadikim, Mashiach, and Yerushalayim. Tzadikim is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Kol Hanikra Bishmi V'Lichvodi Birativ Yitzartiv Af Asitiv, that everything that's called in my name, I made it for my honor and glory and whatever, and that is a pasuk that should be fairly well known. So that pasuk should be well known because it's a Mishnah in Avot, in the 6th chapter of Avot, in which the Braita says, everything God created in the world, God created for God's glory and honor, and then quotes that pasuk in Yeshayahu, and that's referred to me. But here at the Gemara in Bava Basra, it's using that as a reference to tzaddikim, to the righteous. The other one is Mashiach. So Mashiach is because the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says, they'll call the Mashiach by this name, and then Yerushalayim, our pasuk Levishman, Asar Alav Hashem HaYirmiyahu Hashem Shama Antikre Shama El Shema. That from that day on, the name will be Hashem Shema. It'll be called Hashem. Just in terms of concluding Xavier Yechezkel, but concluding this discussion as well, Tzadikim, Mashiach, and Yerushalayim are an interesting group to unify, to put together, because they all have that same characteristic of being Nikraim al Hashem, meaning not that Hashem chooses to put his name there, but that they are meant to be and to serve as conduits to understanding Hashem and seeing Hashem's presence in the world and to have it become a reality. So you have the closing of the book of Yechezkel, and it's sort of kind of abrupt. It's at the very end of this vision, but the closing vision of the book of Yechezkel is of the Beit HaMikdash and of Yerushalayim, or the broader Eretz Yisrael, and of a return to a time when the Jewish people living in the land of Israel, while they will have an ordinary life in many senses, but the role and the center of everything will be the Beit HaMikdash and its role in making sure, and this will be a unified project of the entire Jewish people, making sure that Hashem is there, and by Hashem there, not that physically there is a presence of Hashem, that Hashem takes care of. Making sure that we serve as a model for everybody knowing that Hashem is, has His presence in the world. So that is a time that we can long for, we can hope for, the day when we see these visions come true and figure out and understand exactly what it means to see these visions come true. V'imherav Yameinu. Thank you very much. This has been the book of Yechezkel. If you have any comments, questions, or criticisms, obviously I always enjoy them. My email is grothst@gmail.com. And tomorrow, God willing, when the next parak will do, will be the beginning of the book of Hosea. I will be host for that as well. I think I'm slated for Hosea and Yoel and Amos, so you're not rid of me yet. But for now, having finished the book of Yechezkel, Yishakoch to all, and have a great day.